SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
A very good Wednesday. Pick five hitters. Sirius 219, XM 201, Sports Zone 964. If you're listening to Sirius XM online and at the website as well, stevebick.com. And hard not to start the discussion with what really was fun and challenging and rewarding for people. That even if you didn't hit the Fonner pick five, and actually Chris Katulak will join us later in the hour. I want to get an update from Chris. They're going to, I think, at noon Eastern today, 11 o'clock Central Time, Nebraska Racing Commission expected to approve a date extension for Fonner into May. And we'll get an update from Chris on that. And, of course, next Wednesday, actually, the biggest race of the meet, the Bosselman's Fuel and Pump. Or is it Pump and Fuel? Fuel and Go. Pump and... the big convenience store chain. The Bosselman Steak, $75,000. And they'll do another pick five force out. And yesterday, a little under 2 million, 1.7, and that felt about right. I mean, they had a $360,000 carryover, and Nick and I didn't really talk about how much was expected, but you know, four and a half, five times, I mean, that's about the right number. And as a result, you ended up with a pool of 2.4 total. So really was pretty close to 2 million. And a lot of people had winning plays. And you have to be very clever. And there was a lot of things about this that really came to pass, you know, the way we were framing it. And there was at least two horses that went off at short prices that you could have leaned on heavily. And I think certainly smaller budgets. I mean, the big budget tickets were able to snare the two big prices, the first leg and the fourth leg. But if you needed to find a single, you had your options. Nick used Frankie D'Oro in that second leg, 460. I used Magnanimous Man in the middle leg, 440. So there were places to, you know, to be narrow. And the races that, you know, seemed to be, you know, the ones where you have to, you know, be a little bit more adventurous, that did come to pass. And certainly the $73 horse in the feature, Let's Go Places, from a handicapping standpoint, didn't, you know, that horse shouldn't have been 70-1 or $70, 35-1. Second longest on the board, but it's a 9-horse field, and you had low percentage connections to make decisions about, and then she ran a great race. Indian Roses looked like she was going to win again, follow up from the performance 2 weeks ago, and looked like Dakota Wood was going right on by. And Let's Go Places digs in and absolutely would not let Indian Roses by. And that was, Ricardo Martinez just kept persevering. And you could see the last couple of jumps, said, oh, this horse is going to come back. And does, and ignites the payoff. It really, you know, the payoff ended up being, I did a quick calculation this morning, I think four times the parlay. I think four times the parlay at 14,000. And that's what you're hoping for. You know, the other, you know, the first leg, air assault on, you know, one of those two turnbacks. But that wasn't really the story of the race. The trouble that Dazzle Man ran into. And I, you know, I don't want to, I'm not looking to beat up on Mike Luark, but one for 57, that doesn't happen, you know, that's not entirely by accident. And Luark just found himself with, you know, just no option. I left himself. And the amazing thing about Dazzle Man was the price. Dazzle Man ends up 20 to 1. In the nine horse field. Meanwhile, you know, Air Assault, you know, the horse that was, there were two horses in this that were, you know, turning back. Dazzle Man was turning back, but, you know, is pretty familiar with six and a half, and as short as 5.5. Air Assault, much less so, had only, you know, really sprinted in recent memory a handful of times. It really had been running, you know, lots of mile and mile plus races. But, you know, all he had to do was get back to that form from last summer. And Air Assault ends up, you know, winning by a couple of lengths, while Diesel's Prize, that cool 12-year-old, was banging away. And Big Hearted Factor, who went off at little over even money, 6-5 favorite, looked at one point, you know, like it was going to come down to them. And here came Armando Martinez and Air Assault from Marissa Black. She is tough. Co-owns this Air Commander gelding, Oklahoma bred, 8-year-old. With Ashley Pierce, and out of a Lightning and Thunder mare. How cool is that? There's another great name from the past. Florida Lightning and Thunder. Yeah, Frank DiOro. It's the chart shows it being a lot closer than it really was. Or actually, it was the Magnanimous Man. The chart shows it, you know, being a neck, but you know, Jake Lisiak had pretty much wrapped things up. Holiday Joke at a big price, 26-1. Longest shot on the board came second. That was in the third leg. Frankie Doro and that Terry's Temper ran well. The one horse that we talked about wanted you to use at 12-1. And Frank Doro able to withstand that. And then came the big price. And then in the nightcap, there was some serious. I sent out the list of will pays, and they were, you know, they were substantial. I mean, there were six figures, and, you know, you had a few horses that flirted for portions of the race. It was a 1 mile race. So, you know, there were a lot of opportunity to, as you were watching, to, you know, in some ways the, you know, the three turn mile is a little bit more, I don't know. There's more to really kind of watch, you know, the 6 furlong races, the, you know, first turn, second turn, and it's a lot of hurly burly. The mile was fun because the horses made a couple of different moves. That Mumford, I threw Mumford in as a C, and Armando Martinez, as good as he rode Air Assault, he moved a little early on Mumford, and Mumford would have produced. I'm curious because that was one of the good numbers. Mumford would have been a $46,000 payout. Best Trick Yet came running late along with Spunky Kitten, but at that point, Jake Lisiak, who had been really patient and kept Big Egypt, who was the actually went off as the third choice, which is, you know, tad surprising. Favorite Thunderbox did not last long. I mean, really offered very little. Was done even before the half-mile pole. And Big Egypt, meanwhile, Elisiak just, you know, kind of let everybody spar up in front and then came swooping and drew off at 4-1. So 14,612. Best trick yet would have brought back 107,000. So the, you know, this is a five-figure payday, and I'm sure for some players, you know, that got into this and are looking at a track that's not familiar and so forth, it's got to be a tremendously satisfying hit. So congratulations to everybody that scored, and a lot of people. I'll get the official number when Chris Katulak joins us. And I mean, at 14,000, and the pool was 2.3. So they're you know, taking out, got to be taking out a half a million. So 1.8. So you know, there were substantial tickets. A lot of people got some money and probably got some at a great time, considering everything that's going on. It was fun. It was really, I thought, what you wanted it to be. There were no headaches. There were no sending it upstairs. You know, there's going to be bad rides. That's going to happen anytime. So we'll talk to Chris in this hour. Pete Fornatel is going to join us in a little bit as well. Later, Sid, Sire Watch Pedigree Focus, brought to you by Hillandale. Talk about a couple of the winners from the weekend and see how Sid, he's doing. And Steve Haskin today. Haskin, as I told you yesterday, he's got Joan. They got something tomorrow, so we'll do Haskin again on a Wednesday. And Seth Merrill later. I'm sure Seth is going to look at Tampa. And on that topic, I can tell you it's a very nice late pick four, including a maiden special weight with some pedigrees and with Sugar Bear. Sugar McGahee's got Creed in here. The Honor Code. There's some interesting second-time starters, including a horse. There might be a little something interesting here. Ian Hemingway has got an Arizona bred. called Holy Cross, second-time starter. And Ian Hemingway doesn't start a lot of horses, but happens to be good with second-timers. And already this winter had some second-timer success. 7/8 maiden special weight today as kind of a co-feature. It's a very good card. It's a very nice sequence. First level allowance on the sprinting on the dirt for the olders. Then there's a 10 claimer, fillies and mares, full field, going a mile on the grass, and then this maiden special, and then a first level allowance, turf sprinting, field of 10. So Tampa back on your menu today, Oaklawn and Gulfstream tomorrow, and of course Fonner and Will Rogers will wrap up their week today as well. And as it happens, speaking of Will Rogers, it's a good late double today. There's a first level allowance going 6, fillies and mares. And we'll probably look at this. There's a horse, Ann Maya, has got a Leroy Danimo mare named Valestina for husband David, or together. And this horse has been at Keeneland working, and shows up in this, call it a $21,000 allowance today. Steve Asmussen's got a turf to dirt mover Majestic Queen, broker maiden for 50 at Sam Houston. Bred by Brary Jones. I thought it kind of came down to those two. And the first and third choice, favorite and the third choice. And then there's, I thought, U.S. Special Forces looked very tough in the nightcap. So here's a quick double. 5-10 with the 9, but then backups with the 5 and 11. How about that? 5-10 with the 5-9, 11, and you can press the 9 in the nightcap. That's Will Rogers. And while we're on the topic, before we go to the break and Pete joins us, the two stakes. I didn't mention the stake on Monday. I did talk to you about She's All In. And it was, in fact, the Magna graduate filly, She's All Wolf. And boy, did she get bet. She was 5-2, went off at 2-5. That's the dyslexic morning line. She's All Wolf, and maybe she's stepping forward. Might be, you know, certainly, you know, the mare, if you don't remember her, I mean, she was a really nice horse. And I cannot remember if, I don't think Donnie Von Hemel trained her, but he did. He did. And Mr. Zollner bred her as well. $1 million winner, 16 wins. 38 career starts. She's All In. I should really look at her produce. I mean, she's been off the track since, wow, I guess I'm getting old. She's been off the track since 2013. She was really nice. Graded stake winner. She ran in the FIPS. They were looking for a grade one. She ran in a couple of grade ones. Second in the Delaware Handicap in 2013. How about that? And that had to be against Royal Delta, right? Around that time. Well, I think she won back-to-backs. So anyway, she won the cinema on Monday, on Monday. And Kenny's Ghost yesterday for Teresa Luniak. Let's take a break. Pete's going to join us back after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
If you are racing two-year-olds in California, Kentucky, please consider Bleeder Shield, the leading all-natural paste used to greatly reduce or eliminate EIPH. The list of trainers who trust Bleeder Shield is endless. Shouldn't you join the team? To learn more, contact Joseph Vellante at 215-501-6880.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Here in Pennsylvania, we have the best breeding program in the country, thanks in part to our Racehorse Development Trust Fund. It's a trust, it's not tax dollars, and by law, our fund is completely protected. These are difficult days for all of us. When life in America gets back to normal, and it will, our PA breeding program will be here, stronger and better than ever. To learn more about how we're protecting the trust, go to PABred.com to watch a short video.
How's it going, Sue?
Hey!
Have you seen this commercial?
What career track are you on?
University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck.
Isn't that the horse racing school that Bob Baffert went to?
Yeah, Todd Fletcher, too, and lots of other major players in every area of the industry.
Really?
Like what?
Well, for starters, we have graduates who are executives at Churchill Downs, NYRA, Darley America, Gulfstream, Keeneland, you name it. They're also regulators, racing officials, blood stock agents, track announcers. My class had a job placement rate of almost 90%.
Wow, what other college program has results like that?
What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website at ua-rtip.org.
With Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Your feet in the air and your head on the ground. Try this trick and spin it, yeah. Your head will collapse, there's nothing in it. And you ask yourself, where is my mind? Where is my mind?
We're back at the races. Sirius XM on this Wednesday, and Pete Fornitzal, first of our two Brooklyn visits today, and with Haskin, actually, with Haskin coming on today, we got a, to some degree, a Brooklyn troika to visit today, because Steve, of course, hails from the borough. The home of the Sweat Hogs. And Pete, good morning.
You need only hear that accent to know that he belongs in the club. These Brooklyn Wednesdays are a lot of fun. We've been running around so much. Good to be back in the normal time window for us. And no better way to kick off any segment in these times than with that Trampled by Turtles cover of the Pixies' Where Is My Mind? Perfect song.
Well, I don't know if you saw the article. I meant to send this to Tina. There was a piece I saw about, you know, how people are having these particularly vivid dreams that, you know, it's come to light somehow as part of, you know, dealing with the unusual circumstances. And so, yeah, there's a big mental component to all of this. And Pete, I mean, it's pretty clear that those of us that play horses, we've got this, you know, daily diversion that I think is keeping a lot of people stable and sane.
100%, 100% right. We're very fortunate for the racing operations that have persevered, the fact that they're doing it responsibly and have found a way to make it work. You know, I always look forward to time playing the horses. And you never more so than now. It is a great distraction. I meant, in fact, to get up today to add Hong Kong to the repertoire. Ended up sleeping in and feeling a little lazy about that. But between what we have going internationally and, of course, daily domestic action, it's been fantastic. And that's you mentioned the thing about the dreams, and it's absolutely right. I guess the stress, the uncertainty, whatever it is in the brain, they've definitely been a lot more vivid. Usually, nothing to do with what's going on in the world now, but there definitely is something to that concept. But as a horse player, I couldn't be more grateful for the tracks that have been persevering and running through this, and the others who are working hard to get back online. I mean, it's hard because people don't understand that the reasons why. It's not that our business is worth more than another business. It's that in terms of practicality and the way that our business is run, it can be done in a responsible way. And it's not like you can just leave these horses. The horses need to be taken care of anyway. So you've got 90% of the infrastructure in place already. It's not like these other sports struggling to figure out a way to get everybody in the same place, like golf. Yeah. Everybody already is in the same place, more or less. So with just a little bit of wrangling, we can hopefully have a lot more racing in the near future. You know, I don't have any inside info, but it just seems logical to me that we're going to be able to get more sooner than any other sport is able to do. And I think it's going to help keeping a sane in these times. Steve.
There's a couple of, and I can use that as an opening to update people on a few different jurisdictions and actually a couple of different disciplines as well. It just so happens this morning I noticed where Gabe Prewitt yesterday evening, he mentioned that he's had, you know, he's the harness side, and he said he believes that at about this time next month, there'll be quite a few of the harness tracks operating, that they'll be up and running. And then on our end, there's a couple of things, and one of them we'll cover today here in this hour with Chris Kachulak. Later today, the Nebraska Racing Commission is almost certainly approving Fahner's request to keep running into May. And Tampa, and I had reached out late last week to Pete Berube, and I hadn't heard back, but I saw yesterday where Margo Flynn was quoted as saying Tampa has reached out to what amounts to Florida's horse racing management body, which, you know, is, yeah, like it is like the Bureau of Commerce and some crazy. I mean, for those of you that have never dealt with Florida, there is no commission. It's a very strange setup in Florida, but Tampa expects that they're going to get approval from Tallahassee. And so those two will extend. And then I saw in the Star Trib from Minneapolis, St. Paul, the Canterbury season, they are gearing up to allow horses to come onto the racetrack. And they sense that they're in position to, you know, get going soon. So, you know, Prairie Meadows is also got their finger on the pulse, and as soon as they get an opening, it looks like they're going to get going. Indiana watching. We're hearing that Keeneland is. I had originally heard that, Pete, that Keeneland was going to do something at Ellis, and that there was going to be some sort of a co-opt, some co-opting of racing at Ellis with the Keeneland stakes calendar. We'll see how that plays out. Keeneland apparently may find a window to run a few days, so that's being explored. I mean, we're absolutely, you know, the train isn't moving at full speed, but you can feel like the coal car is being stoked.
Yeah, I've heard a few different rumors. It'll be interesting to see what happens, especially, you know, New York and Keeneland. Boy, I mean, to be able to get action back in either of those places, I think would just fill horse players' hearts with cheer. Nothing against some of the smaller tracks. I mean, hey, we've shown how we'll go and support the places that are persevering through all this. But I just know personally, I mean, if racing were going in New York right now, I'd be into it like never before. And you know, maybe that can happen by June. And when are the Ellis dates that you were hearing rumored about Keeneland, Steve? How far in the future?
Well, yesterday afternoon, Ron Mitchell wrote a piece that I saw at Bloodhorse, and he had talked to Bob Elliston, and maybe we'll reach out to Bob. I got a window in hour three today and see what they're talking about. But Elliston wrote that they're working with the other tracks to figure out, you know, when there might be a window for them to run. And the original thing I had heard was that the bluegrass, that they would potentially run, you know, specifically the bluegrass at Ellis. But now it appears that they've got more of an idea to, you know, to have some sort of an assemblance of dates. I mean, maybe almost like a Kentucky Downs style, you know, two or three days, for, you know, a couple of weeks in a row, something maybe on those lines. But they're obviously preparing for something, and you know, working with Churchill and Ellis in those discussions.
Interesting. Yeah, I'd originally heard they were shooting to do something around July. This sounds like it could be something
that makes sense.
Considerably ahead of that, maybe.
Well, it depends on Frankfurt. I mean, Bashir is working very hard at maintaining things and has done a nice job. And
yes.
I mean, they're all in constant contact with him and with Frankfurt. And, they're, to some degree, it feels very similar to the New York situation. I've talked on a daily basis, whether it's with Gary or with other people at NYRA. And, they hope that they can get started in the end of May. But, I mean, there's nothing happening before the 15th based on Cuomo's extension.
Yes. Yes, which makes sense, and that time frame would be fantastic. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, that would be I'd sign up for that right now. it's tricky, and it's actually a weird. I mean, like, I don't want to get too much into the politics of it, but there's a lot of things that are very negative about the way this whole situation has become politicized. But I do think racing in New York and Kentucky have some extra hurdles as a result of that, in the fact that they're both governors have actually, in New York, you could argue about the start date and all that. But since things got, real, let's say, have done a really good job in New York, and Kentucky did a really good job actually in being able to be ahead of the curve relative to us. But I almost feel like, in a funny way, the fact that those governors have done a good job has worked against racing in a funny way, just because it's politically so hard to to be blowing against the it, just because racing is so weird and in such a unique position. But it doesn't make it easy for racing to make a case in New York right now as
no,
to why
that,
it should be any
no.
kind of exception, even though it is. It's hard politically to make that case.
I don't think it's political. I don't think it's political in any of the settings. When it comes to what we're trying to accomplish, the reality is that every one of these states where in the 30 plus jurisdictions, and I'll get to Georgia in a minute, every state government is going to be desperate for revenue. Every one of them, and it behooves the state governments to let the racing venues operate, because it's going to it brings them revenue, and they're going to need it desperately. There's people in Georgia, and I just answered a Twitter a legitimate Twitter complaint. I mean, first of all, you've got a moron of epic proportion. I mean, the most disgusting. There's individuals that are in place in various governments around this country. Kemp is perhaps the most venal, most disgusting, specific individual in place in a state government. I mean, as awful as possible. They're going to end up bankrupt in Georgia, and they're going to be very unhappy that they didn't take the opportunities that Georgia horse racing has been offering them the last 5, 6, 7 years since Mucho Macho Man. The fact that the people in Georgia can't bet online, not to mention, the Georgia horse racing team is hoping to accomplish in terms of actually, having a real venue and racing, they're going to be desperate. And so maybe there's more hope than ever that the Georgia horse racing people can get some traction.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. There's going to be some very unusual second and third order effects to come out of all this stuff, of course. And maybe that's one thing, one tiny positive, at least as far as the racing industry goes, and their state economy as well. But yes, it's such a complicated morass. And to hear talk about how New York and Keeneland are going to get back running, that just makes me. I'm looking forward to that, all out of proportion. I'm so excited by the idea that that could happen sooner than later.
Well, and we're also waiting as early maybe as today, right? I mean, it was supposed to be early this week that we were supposed to hear what happens in L.A. A little bit of an earthquake, I guess, this morning. I was up very early.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, not a big one, 3.8. And out there, that's like a truck rumbling by. for the rest of us. Yeah. Exactly. So you know, we're keeping an eye. What's keeping you busy? And I saw Jonathan had a long form visit with Michael McCarthy, and you know, Michael's very thoughtful and has got such a great background and history in the game.
I can't wait to listen to that. Of course, good timing too, with CeCe getting the grade one over the weekend, and McCarthy and JK have a long standing relationship. So I would think, and Michael's great in interviews generally, but I think you're going to hear an even more interesting side of him potentially. That show up right now, dropped last night, up over at InTheMoneyPodcast.com. We're keeping the shows coming. Matt Bernier's show is out for the week already. We plan on doing something, hopefully, if my plan sticks, later this afternoon. We're going to do a show geared towards, we've gotten a lot of questions from newer horse players. We've heard all the stories about the ADW signups being way up. Yep. We've gotten a lot of questions from some of those new players. And also, I mean, in England, if the TV viewership here, I know, is up massively. In England, the stateside viewing, the report I heard, up 500%, which makes sense given that, you know, now even for them, U.S. racing being the only game in town. So I've had a lot of questions from folks wanting to look at tools such as Timeform U.S., and hopefully we're going to do a show late this afternoon where we look back at last weekend and go over that. I've got a full shift on Sky Sports Racing. Looks like weekly now, as long as we can get the technology to hold up, which it did last week. I'm going to be doing a full shift for Sky Sports Racing, which will be super fun. And then Friday, we've got our latest in these handicapping or horse players happy hour contest. And we've got a new wrinkle this week, which is fun. We've gotten the Breeders' Cup to kick in 150. So instead of just having the top 18 or whatever it's going to end up being, winning their way into the Saturday Breeders' Cup Betting Challenge qualifier, we're going to have a $100 gift certificate for first and a $50 gift certificate for second for the Breeders' Cup store. So just, I figured to make the broadcast a little more fun if we can have a little bit of a nice hunt at the top of the standings. Yeah, so that's going to be, a 7 race pick and pray this week, looking at Tampa and Gulfstream. Cost $20. All the proceeds go to the Thoroughbred Retirement Foundation and the Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance. We also are putting in a bunch of plugs lately for the New York Racetrack Chaplaincy, and we have a button to donate to them and the great work they've been doing throughout this whole thing over on our page at the TRF site, which is trfinc.org/players. You can give to the TRF, you can give to the Racetrack Chaplaincy, and we always encourage people if they, you know, we've had some good things. Last week on the show, Matt and JK were giving out all kinds of winners, and we got a bunch of donations, which we love. Like, that's, and I know you have a similar attitude, Steve. Much better if we can give away great info for free and let people pay for it essentially by supporting our partners. And you know, we've had no better partner than these charities since the beginning of the company. And the other fun thing is this whole thing will be broadcast. And for the first time, we're going to expand the platform. We've been doing it on Facebook Live, the Facebook Live Breeders' Cup page. But this time, I think we figured out a way to do it via Periscope as well, which means folks can watch right from Twitter. So we assume that'll be, let's make it a little bit easier for people to know what's going on and follow. So if folks want to play, it's the last tweet I just sent over at Looms Boldly. We'll give you a link to join in the contest, to join in the fun. And we've had some fun celebrity guests too, both in the contest playing. We had Mattress Mac has played in a bunch of these, which tickled us. And then we had Gary Stevens crash the broadcast, not last week, but the week before. So you never know who's going to turn up. We encourage people to come join us. And, I mean, I thank you to all the listeners and viewers. We've had so many nice notes of people who appreciate just the idea of being able to get together and just, you know, the vibe that we like to create of just, it's like you're sitting around at the track talking horses and having as many people be part of that community as possible. It's not, you wouldn't call it a sense of normalcy, but it is a way to have some fun during the chaos.
Absolutely. And Friday, the perfect timing. And, you know, whether people are home or some of the people that, you know, really have maintained and continued to work. But it, You know, it's nice. It's something everybody is happy to have something to look forward to.
Yeah, it's been great for just for me personally, being able to have these extra little bits of work. It's tricky to work them in around all the extra responsibilities these days. I've been, during this very call, chased around looking for a safety pin for a little project Baron and I are working on. But I've been very blessed, I'm going to say, to be able to keep things going with all these different shows. And the team has really stepped up, JK, doing these hour-long sit-downs. I think it really, it adds a nice dimension. It's something that, you know, the level, you know, the two-hour visit, you get different content. You get a different vibe, and it's been great. And Naomi Tucker also debuting her Talk Racing to Me show, which has at least temporarily taken the place of our In the Ring Pedigree podcast, which will return at some point, but it's been very hard. The industry show has been hard for me to be on top of, and then Sean Tugel, my co-host in that one, has essentially been on paternity leave as well. But that'll be back, and we've got plenty of stuff in the interim to keep you busy. You can check out everything we have over at InTheMoneyPodcast.com, and if you just look for In the Money Media Network on iTunes or wherever you get your podcast, you'll get the full array of shows. And, you know, there's a lot of evergreen. Yeah, we talk about the news and we have conversations like the one we had before about what's going to be coming online when, what's going to happen with the Derby, the Breeders' Cup, etc. But there's also a lot of evergreen stuff if you just want to check your brain and think and talk about racing for a while as well, whether it's Matt Bernier looking at the best Derby fields of the last 20 years, or JK and I talking about nuts and bolts handicapping. It's as you've done, Steve, we've been shooting to have that mix of content related to current events, but also just, you know, for horse players.
Well, look forward to another nice week. And then, of course, next week we do have Derby. It's Arkansas Derby, but we do have a big one to look forward to. Pete, stay safe and keep Perrin out of trouble. And we'll talk next week.
Thank you, my friend. We'll be talking soon.
Pete Fornatel. Let's take a break. Chris Katulak is going to join us from Fawner, and we'll recap the activity last night and look ahead. They, around noon today, expect the Nebraska Racing Commission to stamp their request for a meet extension. Chris Katulak, after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Developed by Horsemen, horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, environment-friendly, paperless revolution of how equine industries bill and receive payments. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for each horse, whose owners can pay through the same website with just one click. Say goodbye to stacks of invoices, handwritten checks, and postage costs. Easy accounting for all parties with the highest online security measures. Get started free at horsebills.com. Simply register with your name and email address. Free to sign up. No subscription fees to vendors until the first invoice is sent. For owners, you get a free account, comprehensive dashboard with information on all horses owned and billing records, ACH and credit card payment options. For vendors, generate invoices efficiently and receive payments quickly from both owners and other vendors. Syndicate and partnership managers get flexible billing and payment options to both vendors and syndicate members. For more info, call 888-938-4643, 888-938-4643, or log on to horsebills.com. That's horsebills.com.
Get started in Kentucky. Over $8 million in additional purse money is available at the five Kentucky tracks for horses eligible for the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund. Kentucky is a good place to race your Kentucky bred. Come home to Kentucky and make a start.
DRF Sports Forum Digital Edition, your ultimate weekly betting guide. Published by Daily Racing Form, DRF Sports Forum delivers all of the analysis and insight you need for every NFL game and more than 40 college football matchups. Beat the spread with powerful trends and sharp angles. Tap into best bets, expert picks, parlay winners, and more. All for just $4.99 per issue. Get this week's edition free. Visit drf.com/sportsforum. Enter code DRF Sports.
What career track are you on? University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website at ua-rtip.org.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing. This is At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Took a trip on a bus that I didn't know. Met a girl selling drinks at the disco. Said truth comes back when you let it go. Seems complicated because it's really so simple. Walking down Young Street on a Friday. Can't follow them, gotta do it my way. No fast lane, still on the highway. Moving in and out, no doubt there's a bright.
No time to get down, cause I'm
We're back at the races, and Chris Katulak joins us from Fauner Park the morning after, and this time the force out goes smooth as silk, and not for every better, but, you know, there was a little bit of a trip in the first leg, but certainly no hiccups, Chris, and I thought in a lot of ways a really fun and satisfying sequence that put a lot of money in a lot of hands. Good morning.
Good morning to you, Steve. Yes, I agree. Through the silk, I like that. Not for all, obviously, and particularly in the penultimate leg, the favorite getting beat there flushed out about 70,000 plus people. And then you so quickly and helpfully put up the will pace for the final leg. And, in fact, it was then the favorite of the will pace that awarded the $14,000 payoff on the 50-cent increment. So the money did get dispersed, obviously, and it was, what was it, 3.2? Shoot, I had the number right here. Anyway, it was
2.3.
Yes, that's right. I'm getting my millions confused here at Fauner Park. I'm not used to dealing in millions. I think you'll understand.
There was 360,000, and the total pool ended up being just under 2,360,000. So the new money ended up being what? 1.9 million.
Yeah, $2,354,674 is what they bet into it. And so we were less than what we were on the day where it was a total of $4.1 million. But the good news is the overall handle was comparatively greater than when we had that $7.2 million. Now, we didn't surpass $7.2 million. We got the $6.5 million yesterday. But they came right back and bet that late pick four to about a quarter of $1 million betting into that pool. So that was good to see. And, you know, people are becoming more familiar with our product, and we appreciate that, and they seem to appreciate it as well. Look, you're not always going to have $3.60 winners or $7 winners, and you're not always going to have 50-plus winners. That's how it goes, whether you're talking Saratoga or Santa Anita. It's just people getting familiar with new surroundings. And Fauner Park are the friendly confines for such.
And I think, you know, after the, you know, the DQ controversy 2 weeks ago, I think what, and to some degree, what's happened is, and I hope that the point that I brought up, not just with you, but I brought up, you know, with several people as we talked about it in the aftermath, I think there's been a lot of players that hadn't ever really paid attention to a bull ring product. And I think, Chris, to some degree, the more they are watching, the more they understand how these horses kind of stack up on the turns. And it's a tighter, I talked to Tony Black about it afterward, and, you know, he explained, you know, how it's different for the riders and why it happens. And, you know, you're also talking about horses that, you know, might not, you know, have the cornering ability they had as a young horse. So, you know, there's a basic difference to what you're betting on. And
well, I agree, Steve. Pardon me if I can.
No.
Would like me to, okay. You know, what other 5/8 mile racetracks do people have to handicap other than Los Alamitos, at least that they're served up on a routine basis and they can become familiar with? And, you know, I'm thinking about it. When I want to talk about the good old horses or good old racing of yesteryear, I think of Wacoit and Bounding Basque and Java Gold and Ferdinand and all those. I mean, did I not throw you back into a time warp there, or Easy Goer and Sunday Silence? And there's a good percentage of people who only jumped into racing 20 years ago. Well, guess what? All of those horses were finished with their race career 20 years ago. So this is a new paradigm, handicapping a 5/8 mile racetrack. And it's not pretty. It's the, the Jackson Pollock or the Picasso of artistry in the saddle, as opposed to, say, a Rembrandt or a Monet or something like that, that is just so, you know, smooth and well-defined, a Norman Rockwell or something. The artist purists are probably just heaving right now with all that collective artists I just spat out there. But, you know, that's the deal. It's rock 'em, sock 'em. And we talked about this last time I was on your show. For me as a race caller, my race calling got so much better when I started calling on a one-mile racetrack, because things just flowed more smoothly. That's the best way I can say it.
No, exactly. And I also think, you know, it takes people, watching for a few days, to get familiar with the riders too. I mean, and there actually was some artistry to some of the rides, including the one by Jake Olisiak in the Nightcap, you know, where he basically, you know, the mile, making the three turn circumference, and he just waited it out and he made the last move and ends up, you know, winning easily. People will adjust.
Yes, let's hope so. And by the way, speaking of a big day and a mandatory payout, the next one is scheduled, and this is the one we've had scheduled all along, because we have scheduled at the end of our racing season would be Wednesday, April 29th, and that's the day of the Bosselman Stakes. We'll have a couple of stakes races that day, number of ship-ins. We believe Doug O'Neill's Fight On, who had been racing in Maidan in graded stakes company. A couple other ones from around the nation are going to arrive for a little $50,000 purse, because there's no other purse money to run for quite a few people. So we're excited about that. But April 29th is the next mandatory payout day, and that's a week from today.
Well, and you mentioned Bustleman's and Pump and Pantry. I was drawing a blank. I knew it was Pump. I couldn't remember Pump and what, Pump and Go, but it's Pump and Pantry, and yeah. And they're big. They've got a number of locations, the convenience store and kind of truck stop.
That's it. Yes.
Operation. Yeah. Because I from there. There's who was the other one? There was another. They're Iowa based. There was a terrific an Iowa.
We had I can say the name. Casey's would be
Casey's. Well done. Yes,
I'm saving you. I'm not helping our sponsor, but I'm sorry. To see you flip and fry on the griddle there, national radio audience. There, no, and so that will be our big concluding day, Steve. But then, of course, today at 11 o'clock is the Racing Commission meeting, where we will now find out if we can race into May, and that is our intent, and we're hopeful that that will happen.
Well, and every indication is that they're going to rubber stamp the request.
Well, the indication, the hope is they will approve it. Rubber stamping, you know, in the last few commission meetings we've had that have all involved the discussion of COVID-19 and our precautions and safety measures and new protocols, on every occasion we ultimately got unanimous approval from our commissions, but it wasn't without getting grilled and really asked and tested about what we're doing. And there were a couple times I was looking to my operations assistant in the phone conference. I looked at him and was like, what's going on here? You know, and ultimately it did pass, but they wanted to make sure that we have raised the bar, and we certainly have. And we're ready to go. We have a special jockey's quarters that we've constructed that will allow the riders that come in for our stakes race on April 29th. And just another, you know, a number of other measures that we're doing to stave off the pandemic.
Do you have a feel for, you know, how going to just kind of roll over the condition book? I mean, is there anything, any wrinkles involved in going into May? And obviously you'll maintain the Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday schedule.
Yes, that's the plan. We've been tempted a little bit to maybe try a Saturday, but I don't know about that. But the condition book will be, now our racing secretary sees exactly what he has on the ground. So I would hope it's contoured to the horses and horsemen that are here at Fauner Park. And that's important. As far as here's the thing, everybody, I've talked before about how to keep these million-dollar mutual handles in check. As we push on to what we're calling our second season of racing, so the first season, the standard season, will end April 29th, and we may crown a leading trainer and a leading jockey and owner then, and then just have this auxiliary second season in May if it is approved. But you talked about it earlier with Pete just before I came on. The other tracks that are going to come online, and it is imminent, they are going to devour into the handle that we are getting right now. And there is no way we are going to pad our pockets here at Fauner Park and get fat and rich through all of this. We are, without getting in too deep, it's not going to be a stroll in the park next year. Regarding the agreement we have here with the horsemen and purse money and so on and so forth. So we need every dollar that comes our way yet.
Well, this topic, the way in which purses are funded, and this topic came up the other day, and we're actually probably next week, we're going to probably bring in a couple of different people to talk about, what the situation and how I don't think the public and to some degree, even some horse playing parts of the horse playing community understand the structure.
Oh yeah. It's important. Hey, I'm offering up my operations assistant, Mark Landis, to join because my purse structure guy, my finance guy, has a PhD in accountancy. He's a math professor. He loves to have a bet. He knows about horse racing, and he's wickedly left brain and right brain. He can sit down at a piano and just play like a madman, and then he can sit down and look at numbers like he's just reading the ABCs. He's a remarkable guy, and he might be able to shed some interesting light on the topic. Not that you would need any, but anyway, we got him right here in Grand Island at Fauner Park, and I'm better off for it. I can guarantee you that. So are the horsemen.
Has anything changed about your relationship or your deals essentially with the signal disseminators?
I would be, without revealing too much, I would say we've made some improvements to the agreements that we had for our regular season, and that has been paramount to forging on. But also, as I mentioned, in light of other tracks coming back on, it might just be a wash when it's all said and done. But if that's what it takes, then then I'm okay with that as well. But again, it's not like it's just all wine and roses for us here at Fauna Park if and when we race into May. By the way, I have to explain the view I'm looking at right now. I'm out on believe it or not, we've got an executive suite here at Fauna Park, and can accommodate maybe 50 or 60 people. It's got a full bar. It's great for a little parties that people have. And then you step out onto a veranda. It's an elevated balcony here. Horses, as they go into the first turn, people can, you know, sit outside and watch it on patio furniture. Sun's come up already, obviously. There's sometimes close to 24 horses on our little 5/8-mile racetrack because we're just rocking and rolling here. We've got a full stable area. I don't know if you can hear the geese in the background. The mama geese have had their little goslings. They look like little tennis balls, little chartreuse tennis balls, just flop all along. It's quite a sight here. Them, you know, trying to keep them at bay from going out onto the racetrack. That's a dangerous place, obviously. Yeah. But you know, it's just a wonderful, serene setting here. Some of this Norman Ladd just went and galloped by. Now that's a name that goes back into the 80s. He was a young jockey then, but to Bob Young, he's an outrider. I'm looking at him right now. He's been an outrider at Fauna Park since I was in my teens, starting to go at Exarban. So anyway, so, some old faces, some new faces. I saw some kid came by, and we have a number of Venezuelan jockeys that have hit the national scene, and they've hit Fauna Park as well. I saw a Venezuelan flag on the back of this youngster's flak jacket, and just the way he was moving in the saddle, I'm thinking, oh, that kid, he looks like he can sit a horse pretty well. I remember I did that in about 1989 when, I'll wrap this story up quickly, I was in the press box getting ready for a meet here at Fauna Park, so it was probably late January, and I saw somebody bounce onto the racetrack on a horse. He was all covered up with the parka and mask and the works, as you would expect in late January. And I called over the clocker stand. I said, who is that kid on that horse there? He said, some young kid from Arizona. His name is Gomez. Well, that was Garrett Gomez, the late Garrett Gomez. Wow. And he had his apprenticeship for a good portion here in Nebraska. And holy cow, we see something to see. You could just visually see how different he was, the way he sat a saddle. He just looked like such a natural. But anyway, I'm not prognosticating that here and what I just saw this morning. But it's a wonderful scene here going on with training hours, and I'm glad I'm able to share it with you and your listeners.
Well, we'll anticipate the news coming later this afternoon from the Nebraska Commission. And, Chris, we'll look forward to next Wednesday, the $75,000 featured stake of the meet. And you had the little Fauna Park special on Monday. But sounds like you're going to attract some out-of-towners to the Bosselmans next Wednesday. And we'll do another force out of the pick five.
All of that, Steve. Let's hope that we can get to that again. We still are day to day here in central Nebraska.
Doing fine. Well, I really appreciate it, Chris. And thanks, the other day also for, providing the photograph for, for people that were looking to the Monday sixth race that, three horses across the track. And it's a tough angle. I mean, it's where the camera is. Oaklawn has the same challenge.
Oh, sure.
The camera is ahead of the wire. So it is tough to discern.
Parallel parallax. And as a matter of fact, in that race, the three people on my staff, when we saw, we all wrote down the horse we thought got up. I think it was the five in that race. And then we found
five,
out
no, five was on the inside. Five was on the rail. And it was the four that was coming late.
Yeah. And, but our pan camera is about 12 feet up the stretch from before you get to the finish line. So it's going to favor that fast closing horse on the outside. When I called races at Delta Downs, I marked it off. I think it was 30 feet difference or 30 yards. I can't remember. I mean, it was something obnoxiously incorrect about where the announcer's booth was in relation to the finish line. But you know what? I had a gentleman call me yesterday about a tight finish, and I went up and got a look at the photo and got a look at the file, and I just talked him through it. And he says, okay, you know what? I'm content. I'm happy with what you told me there, because there were a couple. It was where the gray horse, Air Assault, won by daylight. But the two horses that were involved in a tight finish were in the middle of the racetrack where it was shaded for the pan camera. Well, the photo finish shows, you know, otherwise it shows the result. And he said, that's fine. I take your word for it. You've explained to me what I wanted to hear. And you know, when there's a pitch thrown at Wrigley Field and it misses the strike zone and it's called a strike, I mean, did the umpires get calls from the head office and say, hey, I got Joe Blow calling from Poughkeepsie. He's arguing that third pitch there. You know, it's like, wow. But, you know, I want to be communicative and let people know.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Everything we're doing here is on the up and up.
Well, well done. Chris Katulak, everybody, and Fowler Park, that looks to run into May and keep everybody occupied a little bit longer until some of the other racetracks around the country can get up and running. And it's really well appreciated. And yesterday, over 100 tickets out into circulation. So a lot of people saw a $14,000 bump in their accounts. And
yeah,
that,
we saw a lot of
that
people
was great.
Reporting on Twitter that they had it too. So
absolutely,
you know, good for them. You're a terrific custodian to us here at Fowler and the nation as well, Steve. I appreciate it.
Not at all. Chris Katulak, everybody. Fowler Park. Let's take the top of the hour break. Sid Fernando is going to join us. Sire Watch Pedigree Focus brought to you by Hill and Dale. And there's a couple of very interesting winners, and not just winners either. There's some really good stories from the Apple Blossom and also, you know, coming out of a couple of other spots that I want to ask Sid Fernando about. He'll join us next hour two at the races.
The latest racing news. It's at the races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
If you are racing two-year-olds in California, Kentucky, please consider Bleeder Shield. The leading all-natural paste used to greatly reduce or eliminate EIPH. The list of trainers who trust Bleeder Shield is endless. Shouldn't you join the team? To learn more, contact Joseph Vellante at 215-501-6880.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Here in Pennsylvania, we have the best breeding program in the country, thanks in part to our Racehorse Development Trust Fund. It's a trust, it's not tax dollars, and by law, our fund is completely protected. These are difficult days for all of us. When life in America gets back to normal, and it will, our PA breeding program will be here, stronger and better than ever. To learn more about how we're protecting the trust, go to PABred.com to watch a short video.
How's it going, Sue?
Hey!
Have you seen this commercial?
What career track are you on?
University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck.
Isn't that the horse racing school that Bob Baffert went to?
Yeah, Todd Fletcher, too, and lots of other major players in every area of the industry.
Really? Like what?
Well, for starters, we have graduates who are executives at Churchill Downs, NYRA, Darley America, Gulfstream, Keeneland, you name it. They're also regulators, racing officials, bloodstock agents, track announcers. My class had a job placement rate of almost 90%.
Wow. What other college program has results like that?
What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website at ua-rtip.org.
Have you heard about the new handicapping and betting app that is sweeping the nation? It's called First Bet, and it puts the power of AI-assisted handicapping, seamless wagering, and live HD video in the palm of your hand. Thousands of bettors have already made First Bet their way to handicap, bet, and watch more than 300 of the world's top tracks. Isn't it time for you to join them? And when you give First Bet a try today, you can cash in on a huge welcome bonus. Sign up with promo code SPORTOFKINGS, all one word, and you will get $10 just for joining, as well as a 10% rebate, up to $500 for your first 30 days. With that much free cash on the line, what do you have to lose? Get started at first.com/bet. That's number1st.com/bet. And don't forget promo code SPORTOFKINGS when you sign up. And if you already have an ExpressBet account, you're way ahead of the game. Simply log into FirstBet using your username and password, and you're off to the races.
Up to 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with FirstBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal, void or prohibited. National Gambling Support Line 800-522-4700.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
I'm a trouble man, changed by the things I do. True, but it's funny how they all remember you. You know, it could be different, time to do something. We're giving everything, oh, to be a happy man. Simple, got a bloodstain, played by the friends I lose. Who's getting out of hand? Do you think they depend on?
We're back at the races, 10 minutes into hour two. Sid Fernando, Sire Watch Pedigree Focus, brought to you by Hill and Dale